If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Psalm 119. If you were with us last week, you know that we begin a series of messages on the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10 and verse 22 says this, "It is the Lord's blessing that makes a person rich." Isn't that good? Isn't it true? It's the Lord's blessing that makes a person rich. I pray this morning that you know it without a doubt. God has blessed you. You are blessed. And the blessings of the Lord have made you rich. If you don't know it today. If you knew it already, know it more and better today. We are a blessed people. You are blessed. I am blessed. That's true. And this is as well how we long for God to continue to bless us. Don't we? Don't we want more of His blessings? We would recognize this morning, yes, we are blessed. Yes, we have received from the Lord His blessing, but we want more. His blessings are good and wonderful. How we love the thought of our lives, of our life, lived in and under the blessing of the Lord. We mentioned this last Sunday, considering the blessed life. We don't even necessarily know what that might look like for us. We probably, all of us, have our ideas of what we would maybe presume to be the blessed life, but here on this third Sunday in January, as we consider the year ahead, we would recognize, I don't know what a blessed 2020 necessarily looks like for me, but all of us would echo the same thought, but I know this, I want it. I want a blessed life. I want the year to be blessed. Last week we considered this. One author writes of this, I'm certain. The blessing of God is the solution to your biggest problem, the answer to your boldest prayer, and the fulfillment of your bravest dream. No wonder then we so desperately long for God to bless us. Last Sunday, we sort of carefully set the premise, it's okay to pray for God's blessing. In fact, forget okay, it's better than okay. It's right, it's good for us to do that. Pray for God's blessing on your life. Do it every day, and while praying it for you, why not go ahead and pray it for others? Be an intercessor. Pray for God's blessing on your children, on your family. Look around the room this morning. Pray God's blessing on your brother. Pray God's blessing on your sister. Pray God's blessing upon this church and your church family. Pray God's blessing on this community. Pray God's blessing on that high school. Pray God's blessing on that middle school just down the way. Pray God's blessing on the businesses of Main Street. Pray God's blessing on your neighbor. Pray God's blessing on the other students in your class, on the one that you work with. Even pray God's blessing on your teachers and on your boss. It's true. Some have. We potentially could. We do have to be careful. We have to be cautious. We have to be on our guard. We could forget that our relationship with God is first and foremost about us serving Him, living our lives so that He gets glory from us and His kingdom advances through us. We can forget that. We must be careful lest we presume that God exists and our relationship with Him exists solely, simply for the purpose of God making our lives better. So this morning, let me encourage you, let me caution you, don't get those things mixed up. Don't lose sight of what our relationship with Jesus is all about. That being said, don't be afraid of the God bless me prayer. Don't feel that you ought not to pray it. Maybe we would say it this way, just don't forget to pray the God use me prayer. And don't forget to pray as well the God be glorified in and through me
prayer. Pray it even daily. God, today, somehow, some way, let your kingdom advance. Let your kingdom grow in me. Let your kingdom grow through me, because of me. Let your kingdom be advanced in my life, in all those that would be a part of my circle of influence. Let your kingdom advance even over all the earth. But in praying those things, don't forget. Listen, do it. Pray that prayer. God, bless me. It's okay. It's good. It's right for us to do that. In fact, last week we established this. God wants to bless you. We read it from one author who says it this way. Blessing is God's default setting. Don't you love the thought of that? His default setting. His first and foremost reflex. When he thinks of you, his first and foremost reflex is to bless you. His default setting is to bless you. Some of you, that's a radical thought this morning. Because for all your life, all you thought of is, God's first thought of you is, oh, what a disappointment. Oh, I wish they would get it together. Oh, I can't believe they're still making the same mistake over and over again. Oh, I need to go get them. I need to get at them so that they get their life right and straight and fixed and doing what they're supposed to do and what I've told them to do all along. God's first and foremost thought when he thinks of you is how that he might bless you. God wants to bless you beyond your ability to ask or imagine. God has blessings for you in categories you can't even conceive of. Isaiah 30, but the Lord longs to show you his favor. He wants to give you his tender love. Isn't that good? Think of it for a moment. Just as you long to receive his blessing, just as you would long this morning to receive his favor, maybe from last Sunday, now this morning, the blessing of God, the favor of God. Yes, yeah, I so want that. I so desire that. Here's the really, really, really good news. Just as you long to receive it, so God longs to give it so that you might be blessed. God is in the blessing business. And as his children, blessing is our birthright. I pray that you take hold of that this morning. Don't be afraid of that. Listen, some people might get crazy with it. We won't. But it's the truth as we consider the character of God and the nature of God and our relationship with him. Listen, blessing is God's default response to you. God's in the blessing business. And blessing, listen to me, son of God, daughter of God, blessing is your birthright in your relationship with him. Understand that this morning. Pray his blessing on your life. Because when you do that, you're praying in agreement with his will for your life. It's okay. It's right. Good to pray that God would bless us. Here's our series of messages, though. You don't necessarily have to. As we read through Scripture, we discover this. Scripture reveals to us how, rather than asking for his blessing, we can make his blessing happen for us. We don't have to be passive in the blessings of God. We don't have to sit back. Well, I'll ask him, and now that I have, I'll simply hold steady here and wait for him to bless me. No, instead, we can be proactive. We can be aggressive. We can make the blessing happen. And in this series of messages, that's the encouragement. Don't just hope that this new year is filled with God's blessings. Don't even pray. At least don't just pray that it'll be blessed. Make it happen. You make it be blessed. You make it be a blessed year. You make it be a blessed entire year. You make your life to be a blessed life.
Last week we considered it as it relates to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Do you see it this morning? You don't necessarily need to ask God for his blessing. According to Psalm 1, you do need to turn away from harmful habits and wicked ways. You do need to meditate on his word. You do need to mature in him and your walk with him. You need to grow up in him. You do need to let him lead you. Let him watch over your way. Let him guide and direct you. Let him lead you in his way. And what does Scripture reveal to us about the one who does all that? Without asking for it, without having to pray for it, they will be blessed. You live in accordance to the instruction of Psalm 1, and you will be blessed. So do that. Do what Psalm 1 says. Make the blessing happen for you. Scripture reveals to us how. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose lives are faultless, who live according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who follow his commands, who obey him with all their heart. They never do wrong. They walk in the Lord's ways. Lord, you have given us your laws and told us to obey them fully and faithfully. I hope I will always stand firm in following your orders. If I pay attention to all your commands, then I will not be put to shame. As I learn your righteous judgments, I will praise you with a pure heart. I will obey your laws. Oh, don't forsake me and let me slip back into sin again. Here's this morning's message. There is blessing for you, guaranteed. Don't have to ask for it. Don't have to pray for it. Don't have to wait for it to happen. You can make it happen. You can make his blessing to be evidenced all over and in your life. How so? Simply and properly handling and responding to God's word. I want you to get that this morning. Whether by actual cover and pages and leather binding, black and red letters on pieces of paper, or by text that appears on your phone screen when you tap on that Bible app. Either way, literally, listen to me this morning, literally, you have at your fingertips, some of you right now, you hold it in your hands, the means by which your life can be lived out in the blessing of God. It's his word. Psalm 119, it's the law of the Lord. It's the book of his commands and his orders. We simply know it as the Bible. This morning, don't just pray. Don't just ask for God to bless you. They'll certainly do that. Make the blessing happen. Here's how. Let me share with you a few thoughts. Number one, God's word, delight in it. We read this last week from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. According to Webster, to delight is to take great pleasure in. It's that which brings joy and satisfaction. In Hebrew, it's that which is desired, that which is deemed valuable, desired because it is so valuable. So delight yourself in God's word this morning. Delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Let your heart, let my heart, let all of us together, even as a church, let it be that our lives are defined by taking great pleasure in what God says. Let us as a church, and I want to be very careful here, let us love worship.
and let us enter into worship. And let's be the best worshipers that we can ever be. But when it comes time for the word, let it be that we open up our heart and we open up our mind and our ears to receive. Let's be a people that are anxious for God's word. Let's be a people that don't have to drag ourselves into our time in God's word, our devotional time. Let's be a people that run to it because we're anxious, we're longing, we're desiring to hear what God would say to us on any given day. Let our lives be defined by a pleasure that we would take, a joy and satisfaction that would come simply from having spent time in His word. Let it be that that's our response. My life is filled with joy. Why? You got good news. You got the promotion at work. You got the pay raise. You got a good report from the doctor. No, my life just filled with joy because I just came out of my Bible reading time. And there's a joy that's filled my spirit. There's a satisfaction that's descended over my soul from simply having heard what God would say and what God would speak into my heart and life. Delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Run into that time. Value that time. Let there be a desire for more and more of His word, because there's a recognition it's the most valuable of things. According to Psalm 1, even before you necessarily have to do anything else with the word, you simply delight in it and you will be blessed. You will make the blessing happen. You can still pray and ask God for it, but you won't have to, because it will happen all by itself, according to Psalm 1, as you delight yourself in His word. Number two, God's word, get it. Because you delight in it, make your life's pursuit be God's word. Consumed by a desire to get more and more and more and more of God's word. Read it. A few years back, some research was done. Findings written in a piece entitled "Lack of Bible Reading Cited for U.S. Moral Decline." This is what was discovered. A report released found that more than 3/4 of Americans believe morals and values are declining in the United States, with the lack of Bible reading cited as the most cited cause. Research conducted by the American Bible Society uncovered a significant disconnect in belief versus behavior. While 66% of those surveyed agreed that the Bible contains everything a person needs to know to live a meaningful life, 58% say they do not personally want wisdom and advice from the Bible. 57% read it fewer than 5 times per year. The State of the Bible survey conducted by the Barna Group found that the Bible continues to dominate both mind and space and book retail space as America's undisputed bestseller. 1 in 6 persons reported buying a copy of the Bible in the past year. 4 out of 5 Americans identify the Bible as sacred. And the average household has 4.4 copies. While 56% of adults believe Scripture should have a greater role in U.S. society, perceptions about the Bible have become increasingly polarized, with 6 million new self-identified Bible antagonists in the past year alone. The disconnect between belief and action when it comes to the Bible reading is troubling, according to the president of the American Bible Society, who says, Americans are telling us that the cure for declining morality is sitting on our bookshelves, but more than half of Americans are simply letting the cure gather dust. In our culture, even among us, we would call ourselves Christians. The very thing that would bring blessing to our lives, this miraculous, powerful,
sharper than a double-edged sword, useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. This God-breathed thing, this God-breathed book lies dormant in our homes and in our lives. Instead of transforming us and blessing us, it's collecting dust on our shelves. Listen, us here at New Life, let's make it that the survey doesn't define us. Might be true for America. Might even be true for many churches in America, many Christians in America. But we say, no, not here, not us. Because we're going to make the blessing happen. We're going to saturate our lives, our hearts, our minds with the powerful, unchanging truth of God's Word. Find a way that you can read more and more of God's Word. And some of you may be in the room, let's just be honest, that throws you off because you would define yourself as not a reader. Listen to it. Listen, it doesn't matter how you do it. Just make sure God's Word is getting in so that your heart and your mind is consumed by it on a daily kind of basis. Read it, study it. Meditate on it. Know it. Can I challenge you this morning, related to any and everything going on in your life, related to any and everything going on around us and in our culture, related to any and everything that would be an issue, as it were, for us as a church, things that we as a church would deal with, decisions we would have to make, the culture we would seek to create here. Listen to me this morning. If you don't know what the Bible says about that, whatever that issue, whatever that thing, whatever that decision, whatever that topic, if you don't know what God says about that, this morning you would simply bring blessing to your life by deciding today that's a problem. This is what's going on. I don't know what the Bible says. I know what culture says. I know what friends and family are telling me. I know what the media is feeding to me. I know what the book titles are telling me all about that, but I don't know what God says. This is my life now, who I am, the things I'm doing. I don't know what the Bible says about that. That's a problem. This morning, you would bring blessing to your life by deciding that's a problem. You would bring blessing to your life by deciding I'm going to know what the Bible says about whatever the issue is. I'm going to know what the Bible says about some of the hot topics of our day. I'm going to know what the Bible says about homosexuality. I'm going to know what the Bible, I don't care what, I'm done hearing what culture has to say. I want to know what God has to say about abortion. I want to know what God has to say about sexual purity. I want to know what God has to say about whether or not I should live with Him before I marry Him. I want to know what God has to say about what my relationships, how they should be defined. Should I be dating someone who's not a Christian? Should I be involved in someone who's an unbeliever? I want to know what the Bible says about my life as a husband. I'm done with culture. I don't need culture telling me anymore about who I should be and how I should be as a wife. I want to know what God has to say. I want to get His opinion on the issue. Know God's Word. Can I ask you this morning, what is God say about whatever it is that you would think of? What's the pressing thing going on for you? What's the question you have? What's the thing that you're struggling with? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about where you're at in life right now? What does the Bible say? Come on, parents. What does the Bible say about how you should raise your kid? I don't care how you were raised. I don't care how dad and mom were for you. I want to know, what does God say about the dad, what you should do? Mom, what you should do? Don't you understand this morning? It's God's Word that we need. It's God's opinion that we must know and that we must get. I fear that there are way too many Christians, maybe especially in our American culture today, that don't know what the Bible says. They seem to not know
what the Bible says, and instead are letting culture influence them. Let how they feel and how they think be the guide for them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that because I think it's right, because I think culture is right, because I just feel that this is good and acceptable, and this is a huge problem. It's God's word that we need. Get it. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Know it. How about this? Consult it. Consult it. There's a story that you read in Joshua. Israel is commanded to take possession of the promised land. It was to be complete and utter destruction of the kings and kingdoms, the people that were there. And those there, they sort of saw the writing on the wall. Jericho had fallen. They knew they were next. It was just a matter of time. And Joshua and some decide, let's not wait for them to attack us. Let's go attack them. To no avail, because God was with Joshua and God was with and for Israel. Others resorted to trickery. In Joshua 9, you can read of the Gibeonites. They came to make a treaty of peace with Israel. They made everything look old, their clothes worn, wineskins cracked, bread moldy, so that it would appear they had come from a long distance. And so they, when they presented their peace treaty, Israel would maybe be swayed by, they're not a people of this land, and it's okay, we can let them in, we can make peace with them. We read this in Joshua 9 and verse 14. The men of Israel sampled their provisions, do you know this? But did not inquire of the Lord. You know what they did? They saw what their eyes could see. They thought what their mind could think. They let everything around them influence them, but they did not consult God. Fail to consult God's word, and you'll let the enemy in. You'll live less than what God desired and God intended for you. God's word, get it. God's word, believe it. The story is told in John chapter 4. Once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine, and there was a royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Jesus responds to the man in a very unique way. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you'll never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. I love the story. Jesus sort of takes a tangent. All you people want is for me to do the next trick. All that you want is for me to do the next miracle. That's all. You're only about the miracles. You don't care about God. You don't care about your walk with God. You just want the big show. You want the big fancy event. And this royal official is just, Lord, I don't know anything about that. And maybe I'm like that. Maybe everybody else is like that. The only thing I do know is my son is sick and about to die. I need you to come and heal him so that he might live. Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. Very unique. Think of it, the urgency of the matter. The official that comes running, Jesus, I need you. You got to come. You got to heal my son. I don't want him to die. He can't die. Jesus, come on. I don't care about you need a sign to believe. I just need my son to be made well. Jesus, come and heal my son. And Jesus doesn't go with him. He simply speaks to him, you may go. Your son will live. Some of the most amazing words in Scripture. John chapter 4 and verse 50. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Can I ask you this morning? Do you take Jesus at his word? What has Jesus spoken to you? Do you take him at his word? Listen, can I just encourage you? Big umbrella. You know what Jesus has said? Don't worry. I take care of this. The birds that fly, I see each one that falls. The lilies out in the field, they've all got my attention. How much more precious are you than any of that? So don't worry. So now, here you go. Walking through life,
Boss about to fire you. Banker about to tell you you've got no money. House about to go. Car breaking down. Family in disarray. What do you do with Jesus' word? Do you take him at his word and refuse to live life in worry? Jesus tells us, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Now you walk through a bad report from the doctor, life turned upside down. What do you do? Can I ask you this morning? What do you do? Big umbrella. I don't know specifically what you're going through or what specifically the Lord maybe has spoken. If I knew that, I could ask you those things. But what do you do with the word that Jesus? Do you take him at his word? And do you go on expecting the victory and anticipating that what God has said will come about? While he was still on his way home, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. The father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So now we go back to Jesus' little tangent. You don't believe unless you see a miracle. And here's a man who decides, I'm not going to be swayed by miracles. I'm going to believe in Jesus. And we read this. So he and all his household believed. I'm not going to be a miracle chaser. I'm going to believe in Jesus. No wonder Jesus spoke. We thought it weird. We thought it kind of mean. Jesus, the guy needs help. Help him out. Don't give him a lesson on how he's all messed up and chasing after miracles instead of you. But now we understand. The words Jesus spoke were the words that would not just bring healing to the boy's son, but would bring life to the entire family. You can always take Jesus at his word. Can I encourage you? Just be honest, full confession. We don't always take him at his word. We can change today. We can decide today, I'm going to take Jesus has told me, don't worry. He has told me, don't be afraid. Jesus has told me that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can take him at his word. In 2 Corinthians 7, no matter how many promises God has made, come on, you know it. They are yes in Christ Jesus. And through him, the amen has been spoken. I like this. I saw it on Facebook the other day. You know Facebook. I love to go there for all things theological and good for sermons. Someone had posted, since God told me I'm going to get it, I walk like I already have it. I like that. I think that's pretty good. God's word, delight in it, get it, believe in it. Number four, we're going to hustle. God's word, obey it. Obey it. In Luke chapter 5, we read of Jesus' ministry, instruction that he gives to Peter, and Peter's amazing response to the Lord. One day, Jesus standing on the Lake Galilee with people crowding around him, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into the boat, one belonging to Simon, asked him to put out a little from shore, sat down, taught the people. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. I'm a fisherman. You're not a fisherman. I'm telling you, the best fishing time is come and gone. We were there when it was the best. We didn't catch anything when it was the best. This is nonsense. This doesn't make sense. Telling me now to go out and fish. I fished all night. The fish aren't biting. Nothing's happening. It's to no avail. It'll be no good. But then, again, powerful, powerful words in Scripture. But Peter continues, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. I wonder if all too often, I want to be careful how I say this, but listen to me. We think too much. We think too much. We talk too much. We worry too much. We try to figure things out way, way, way too much. And ultimately, in the end, we lose something of the because you said so obedience to God's word in and over our lives. So here we sit in the restaurant and we sense a Holy Spirit prompting to talk to our waitress. Do you understand? We think too much. We think ourselves right out of obedience. We talk too much. Well, I kind of felt, but then I didn't know, and she was super, super busy, and I thought, wow, this is going to be kind of crazy. It's going to mess everything up. She's probably going to get in trouble. In fact, it's good that I didn't pray for her, come to think of it. She probably would have lost her job. We think too much. We talk. Well, what's God going to do? Is God going to respond? Maybe she's sick. Am I going to pray that she gets well? What if she doesn't get healed? What if the thing that I pray for doesn't come about? We think, we talk, we try to figure out over and over and over. And I'm telling you, I want to set you free from thinking too much this morning. Don't take that the wrong way. I want to set you free from talking too much. Take that however you want. I want to set you free from trying to figure it out. And I want us to live, Jesus, because you said so, I'll do it. I'll go. I'll talk to my neighbor. I'll serve. I've never done that before. Oh, I'm talking too much. Forget that. God, I'll do it because you said. I've never worked with that age group. I'm thinking too much. I'm trying to figure too much out. God, because you said so, I'll do it. I'm going to obey. In James chapter 1, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says, like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, watch this, he will be blessed in what he does. Do you understand this morning the word brings blessing? More specifically, we would say obedience to the word brings blessing. You don't have to ask. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to wait for it to happen. You can make it happen. You can make the blessing happen by simply doing and obeying the word. I would sense in my spirit that some here, you have instruction from the Lord, but you have delayed in it. You're thinking too much. I'm not discounting wisdom. Get advice, get counsel, but you're thinking too much. You know what I'm talking about. You're talking too much. You're trying to figure too much out. You have a word from the Lord. You have instruction. God wants you to go. God wants you to give. God wants you to serve. God wants you to help out. God wants you to be involved. And you're delayed. You have checked yourself up. Listen to me this morning. You would bring blessing to your life right here, right now, in accordance to James chapter 1, by simply stopping the talking, stopping the thinking, and saying like Peter did, Lord, because you said it, I'm going to do it and serve and go and give and help and get involved. Do whatever he's asked you to do. We have to, unfortunately, consider the alternative. Blessing comes by way of obedience. You can void the blessing of God in your life by not obeying. Israel, again, taking the promised land. Jericho has been conquered. Now on to Ai. Surely an easier victory for God's people, except it's not. Israel is defeated. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 5, at this the hearts of the people melted, became like water. Joshua tore his clothes, fell face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same, sprinkled dust on their heads. You can imagine those prayers. God, I don't understand. God, you said. God, you promised that you were going to give us the victory. You promised you were going to help us. God, this isn't fair. God, this isn't right. And then the Lord responds, stand up. That's my voice inflection, not necessarily God's. Though sometimes maybe God talks, stand up. What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned. They violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They've taken some of the devoted things. They've stolen. They've lied. They've put them with their own possessions. That is why Israel can't stand against enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. That's an interesting phrase. It's Joshua 7 and verse 12. It's from the NIV. Their disobedience have made them liable to destruction. I believe that there would be, according to God's word, two paths laid out for us this morning. You can choose the way of obedience and make your life liable to blessing. Or you can choose disobedience and, according to Joshua chapter 7, make your life liable to destruction. Make the blessing of the Lord happen. Obey Him. Obey His word. Confronted by potential areas of disobedience, let there be repentance. Let there be correction so that there can be blessing again. God's word, number 5, speak it, proclaim it, declare it over your life, over your family, over your church, your health, your finances. Speak God's word over any and every area of your life. Find a word from the Lord for whatever it is that you're going through. Speak that word, declare that word. If it's a word related to your health and healing, every time you're on the way to the doctor, every time you feel that pain, begin to speak. Remember the little rubber band thing? I don't want to think that, so I flick the rubber band and it hurts me and it makes me. Listen, get yourself a word from the Lord and run to that word every time you begin to think of the pain in your body. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my healer. Every time you look at the bills and get worried all over again, the Lord is my provider. The Lord is, begin to speak that. Begin to speak that out loud. Begin to declare it over every area of your life, over any and everyone in your circle of relationships. God's word, speak it in prayer. In 2 Samuel, David wanted to build God a temple, and God's going to tell David, no, he can't do it. But included in the denial of David's request is this in 2 Samuel 7. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over, you rest with your fathers, I'll raise up your offering to succeed you. He's the one who will build the house for me. I will establish his throne. I will be his father. He'll be my son. My love will never be taken away from him, and your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. God will speak that to David, and in response, David will simply say, Lord God, do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. It may very well be the best prayer you can ever pray when you simply tell God what he's already said. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, we read the very simple phrase and few simple words, God who does not lie. This is the power of speaking God's word in prayer. What God says, he does it, because he cannot lie. God, you said. God, you promised. That's our authority. That's our confidence in prayer. He said it. He promised it. And now, because he can't lie, his only option is to fulfill it. God, do what you promised. God's word gets God's attention because it's true and it's pure. It's right and it's righteous and it's powerful. Us praying God's word gets God's attention. It demonstrates real trust and faith. It demonstrates an understanding of his character. He doesn't lie. If God said it, it's true, no matter what. No matter what the doctor says. No matter what the scientists say. No matter what they say, whoever they are. No matter what friends and family say. When God sees in us that kind of childlike faith, I can't understand it. I can't explain it. I can't answer all the questions or arguments against it. This is all I've got. My Father, who doesn't lie, who cannot lie, he said it. That's it. That's all I've got. That's all I'm standing on. But that's enough. That gets God's attention. When you respond to whatever you're going through, whatever problem, whatever difficulty, God has said, but that doesn't make sense. I know, and I don't understand it, and I can't make sense of it. But my Father doesn't lie, and he said, he's promised. I stand on that, even if that's all I have to stand on. Speak his word in prayer. God always responds to his word. His word will not return void. His word spoken will never not have an impact. His word spoken will never not make a difference. God's always true and faithful to his word. If he said it, he'll fulfill it. God, you promise. You were wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. You bore the punishment that brought us peace. God, you promised. God, you said, though my sins were as scarlet, you would make me to be white as snow. God, you promised. God, you said, by your stripes, I am healed. God, you said, he who is greater in me is greater than the one in the world. God, you said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, Lord, do as you promised. God, you promised that when I pass through the waters, you'll be with me. God, you promised when I pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over me. When I walk through the fire, the flames will not set me ablaze. God, you said, you promised, and you cannot lie. You always tell the truth. Now, Lord, do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. God's word, speak it, declare it, proclaim it to the hurting, to the sick, to the discouraged. How about instead of staying silent while trying to figure out something creative to share? Isn't that where most of us are at? Oh no, here comes this person, such a great difficulty, such a great need. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond. Oh, I wish I was more creative. Oh, I'm just not very good with my words. I don't know how to help them. I don't know how to minister to them. How about instead stop with the trying to figure out how to be creative, and how about just speaking the living word of God that is able to comfort and heal and help, courage lift up? How about proclaiming God's word and speaking it boldly? How about sharing it with the lost? One author writes, what's God's family business? News primarily. Christians are those who have been born again through Jesus' death and resurrection and commissioned to carry the best news to as many people as possible from all nations, languages, and people groups of the earth. How about going to tell somebody the story of Jesus this week? Proclaim God's word. Speak it. Obey it. Believe it. Get it. Delight in it. Finally, this morning, God's word, be changed by it and blessed because of it. Psalm 19. The word of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. That's blessing. God's word, it will change you. It'll revive your soul this morning. It'll give you joy. It'll make you wise. It'll bring light to every aspect of your being. Psalm 119, blessed are those who live according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who follow his commands, who obey him with all their heart. God wants you blessed. His default reflects your birthright is his blessing. You can pray, you can ask him for his blessing, but you don't necessarily need to. You can today determine to be more and better men and women of the word. You can delight in it, be consumed by it and a passion for it. You can make his word to be the desperate desire, the hunger within your heart, more of his word. More of his word. What do you need? I need more of God's word. What do you want? I want more of God's word. You can read it, study it, meditate on it, memorize it, know it. You can believe it and obey it. Decide today you're going to live your life, everything about it, every aspect of it, in light of what the word says. You can speak it more. Listen, you do that and you will be changed and you will be blessed. So do that. Pray for his blessing. But today, you can decide to make the blessing happen in and over you, your life. Be blessed today, this week, this coming year. I pray that you would be. I pray that you do the things that would make it to be blessed. And this morning, as we did last Sunday, I want to speak his blessing over you. Would you stand with me today? As the under shepherd of the great shepherd, as the high priest, as it were, of this assembly, in accordance to God's word, I have something for you today. So this is what we did last week. When somebody has something for you, they extend it and you extend your hands to take it. I have something for you. So would you extend your hands to receive today? May the Lord hold you and keep you. May the Lord give you comfort. I speak it, I declare it today. According to God's word, may the Lord shine his face upon you and give you his favor and give you his peace. Father, I thank you today for your word. Father, we ask for your blessing. We pray for your blessing. We want, oh, how we want your blessing on our lives, in every area of our lives. But last week, today, for a few weeks to come, we're reminded we don't just have to ask. We can make the blessing happen. We can live the blessed life by making the right decisions. We saw it last week. We saw it today in how we handle your word. So God, I pray very simply over this people. Would you make us to be men and women of the word?